Hey, 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 and welcome to the Indie Film Review. My name is Jared. I am your host, and with me, as always, is Dan.
I'm here.
The other host.
The other host. I've made that joke before. The host with the most.
That's right. The most of what? We don't know. We don't ask. We never look.
Nor should you ever ask.
Nor should you. So this is a show where we review independent film. Hello and welcome. Thank you for choosing us to be your film guide through the Podiverse. Prepare your ears.
Prepare your ears, because we like to seek out independent films, whether they be submitted to us from listeners, or if we were just, you know, perusing through Netflix one day and we saw a film. And we're like, huh, that looks interesting. Let's watch it so we can give our opinion about it and make nobody else watch it ever again.
Yeah, our unwarranted opinion on everything. Don't you just wish there was a show that just two guys gave their opinions on movies all the time?
Man, I wish there was a show.
Is that anyone asking them to do it?
Dude, here, you know what? Ready?
Well, this is the show for you.
If you think that there are too many film podcasts with two guys, we're going to do something new.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to start one with three guys.
Oh, damn. How about two guys, a girl, and a pizza place?
What? Impossible.
Impossible. How about, here's my new gimmick. We wear crazy hats.
Yes. I'm totally down for that. Okay,
we're actually doing it right now.
Starting this week, we're wearing crazy hats, and nobody else in the podcasting world does this.
That's right. That's right. So because this is a audio only, we don't do video. No one can really see the crazy hats, but we can describe them to you through our words. So Dan, please tell me, please describe what my hat looks like.
So you know what propeller caps look like, guys?
Yeah.
Imagine that, but instead of a propeller, it's a giant dildo.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. Dan is wearing a jester's cap, but it is made of human skin. Wow, that's fun. It's stitched pretty nicely. Did you make
stitched
it yourself?
Stitched pretty nicely. Yes, I did, in fact,
make it
myself.
Wow. No further questions on that. So let's get into our film. We watched 68 Kill.
68 Kill on Netflix, starring
baby
Matthew Gray Goobler from Criminal Minds.
Googler.
Goobler. Wait, Matthew Gray Goobler.
Goobler. Oh.
I saw him in it and I'm like, huh, he's in a movie. I want to watch this movie.
He makes the goofiest. He's such a good goof in this movie.
In Criminal Minds. Have you seen Criminal Minds?
No, I haven't.
He plays like a genius with an eidetic memory. He's really good at that. And it was directed by Trent Haga. So this is
Trent Haga.
Second movie he's directed.
Okay. What's the budget on this film?
That's a good question.
Because this movie is very well made.
cumulative worldwide gross, $522.
Ouch!
God damn.
But, okay, how many theaters did it get released in?
Probably one. One theater.
This movie does not deserve $500. It should have gotten more, is what I'm saying. That's kind of fucked up.
It's based on the book of the same name by Ryan Smith.
A book? This now, is based off a book?
Yeah. So
what?
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in this film here.
Okay.
So basically there's this guy and he has a girlfriend that likes to beat him up, rough him up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She's very sexually dominant in this relationship, and that's really all you know about it.
Dominant in every way.
Honestly. Yeah, anyway. So she has a sugar daddy that they plan to rob. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they get there to rob him, things go awry.
Oh my god.
Because her initial plan was just grab the money and nobody gets hurt. Mm-hmm. Instead, she straight up murders the sugar daddy and his wife.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you go on a fucking crazy ass ride from there.
Yep, it's a odyssey of sexy ladies confusing you into doing bad things.
Correct.
Because you're a dumb, sexy sex man who only knows how to what to do.
This character reminded me of the character from Under the Silver Lake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just somebody who's constantly has women thrown at him, and he's just like, whatever.
Yeah. But dumber. But, like, really stupid.
Yes.
Okay, so I kind of wanted to bring back what we used to do in the early version of this podcast. Why don't we ask each other questions?
Okay.
About just anything about, as long as it's movie-related, about this film, I should clarify.
Did this film tire you?
Yes.
I agree. This film...
I got bored halfway through it. The first section of it I thought was very interesting. The main premise that you described I thought was very interesting.
It was surprising.
I thought the entire film was going to be that.
Right.
And then it became this other thing of just like long driving scenes and he meets this other girl who he falls in love with. I mean, this is kind of spoilers, so I guess I'll stop there. But it just became a whole other thing that was not very interesting. And, like, all these, like, crazy things that happened to the main character, I don't know why, I just didn't care about it. And then there was one point where the main character, I lost all confidence in him. And we'll talk about that in the spoiler section of this review. But, okay, question for you. How did you feel about the themes of this movie? Or what was your perceived theme of this?
That is probably why I can't say I enjoyed this movie wholeheartedly, because it felt like there was no thing that ties it back into society, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, there was nothing for me to pick up on that was, it's like, oh, this film's an allegory for this. I didn't see any fucking allegories. Like, maybe I'm just an idiot, but it maybe I'm just an idiot.
Yeah, that's probably it. You're a big dum-dum. I mean, films don't have to necessarily have kind of allegory or something,
what this
right?
film did was, it was a film like nothing I've ever seen before, basically. It took you, again, for that wild ride that doesn't fucking stop, and you're just forced to empathize with this really dumb character.
Yeah, they're making you empathize with characters that you don't want to.
Yeah.
But not in a good way, I guess. They don't do a good job of making you empathize, I guess. That's probably what I
Well, and like would the say. Way the film is set up, it's like everybody is unlikable because they're pretty much all villains.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that you're identifying with is just kind of thrown into this villainous behavior, and he doesn't even want to be there, but then he ends up depending on villainous behavior to get him out of it.
Yes, and I feel like the female characters, the way they're portrayed is just, they're all crazy.
Yes.
Right? They really make them like Looney Tunes characters. And that's why it surprised me so much when you said this was based off a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no way any of these characters came from a book. I don't know, it just doesn't feel like a book at all to me. So I'm wondering what kind of book this was. Where the characters acted this way. Okay. Here's another question for you. Did you think this movie was funny?
No.
Long pause. That was a long pause.
I was trying to like rack my brain, really think of something that was funny about the movie. Didn't find one. The acting was pretty damn good. Like, I enjoyed acting in this film. Mm-hmm. The music was pretty good as well.
Mm-hmm. No editing issues or anything that I could see. So quickly, I watched It, Chapter 2.
Oh, how was that?
Right? So this movie, my quick mini review, it's good. I enjoyed it. It's not scary. Kind of the same how in the original, the movie miniseries, how like the first part, when I was a kid, I remember part one when they were kids was very scary to me. It's not too scary anymore if you watch it again. But and then the second part was less scary. And in the second part of this, it's more comedy. It's more of a comedy adventure. It's really? Very weird. Yeah, and there was some weird editing issues.
Really?
That even my girlfriend noticed while we were watching in the theater. She's like, some of the scenes were kind of weird. I'm like, you're right. The editing was weird. So, and she's like, she's not a movie crazy person like us, and even she noticed it. So then it's like, okay, there's something going on. But even in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, there were a few times where the editing was like, just the cuts were weird. I don't know. It, very minor nitpick. I still think the movie is good and it's worth watching. But it's, I don't think I'll ever watch it again. But
I mean, I want to watch it just to
it wasn't
watch
scary
it, but
yeah,
that I'm not in a rush to see it now that you've told me that, so I'll probably wait till it comes on Netflix.
Yeah,
and get it via DVD.
It was a great conclusion to the first part of the new movies, but because I thought the new movie was so scary, it scared the shit out of me in theaters, and this one, the second one, is just like, all right, I don't know.
Do they go down to the sewers and fuck?
Oh yeah, it's funny because they do not do that, but they bring a lot of the stuff that happens when they were kids, they now make it happen when they're adults. Mm. It's weird. It's almost like this sequel is more faithful to the original book and tries to, like, do all the things that the first one missed.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. Anyways, that was supposed to be a short review. It's not. let's get back to the film.
Do we want
one more question? One more question.
One more question?
Yeah. One more question.
If you had to,
yes,
go on a date with one of the three main women in this film.
See, these are the type of questions I want because it's
who
it's
would
related
it be
to the movie
and why.
Dude, Dan, this is an excellent question. Great question. I really appreciate you, and I'm so glad you asked this. I would have to pick Lisa, the first girl, because mm-hmm. I like getting punched in the face.
Oh, interesting.
By my lover. You know, that's just what I'm into.
Coincidence like that you would pick Lisa. Because mm-hmm. I would pick emo girl for the same exact reason you picked Lisa. In that I like to get hit with a baseball bat.
Nice. I just like... I just like having all my friends over and having them all take their shirts off.
That's plenty of drugs and lots of violence. Yes.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And
all right,
we
so
all live
gonna,
in a trailer.
We're gonna spoil this movie now. So if you'd like to see it,
don't spoil the movie. It's already hard enough to be a movie. Why would you want to spoil
guys?
It?
But I want to watch it. Relax, okay, relax. So 68 kill, rated R. It is an hour and 33 minutes. It's a crime, comedy, romance. Was this movie a romance? Question mark. Where did I find this? On Netflix?
Yeah,
I think
Netflix.
Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, go on Netflix if you want to watch it. Anyways, Dan, let's talk about some specific scenes. Maybe why this movie didn't work for us too much.
Okay.
Let me pull up my notes. I have one thing I would like to kick off.
Please do.
The moment that this film lost me, because okay, you have this guy's girlfriend is cuckoo bananas, but he's into her because he knows that she's kind of crazy,
mm-hmm.
and it's almost like he enjoys being taken advantage of. It's weird. It's like this weird relationship of like he doesn't have to think for himself. She kind of just tells him what to do, and
yeah.
This lady compares him to a dog constantly, and he's like,
because he's a fucking dog.
He seems to be okay with it. Yeah, he is. And like, if you think of that one movie, what's that film where when Mars Attacks,
mm-hmm.
when they put the head of the dog,
mm-hmm.
Pierce Brosnan's head on the dog's
yeah.
head? That's what it made me think of. Like, his head would be perfect. Like, he would play a perfect Mars Attacks Chihuahua dog.
Chihuahua
That's all I'm saying.
Dog, yes.
He could be in the next Beverly Hills Chihuahua, for sure. As a voice, at the very least. Or maybe CGI his face in. Beverly Hills 6, When Mars Attacks. That's my new pitch.
So basically, if I'll give it a better fair assessment, because I wrote something
sure.
down in my notes.
Sure.
It's basically an inverted Bonnie and Clyde, in which Bonnie is the one that's doing all the crazy shit, and Clyde's just along for the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what this film is. Anyway, mm-hmm. Couple scenes at the very beginning of the movie. Like, we talked about how Lisa punches or slaps Matthew Gray Goobler in the face
Goobler.
Really hard. That scene is so surprising and funny to me. Like, I couldn't... So there's where I laughed. I did laugh once, and that was whenever she hit him in the face. I was like, damn.
So when physical violence...
And then there was another scene where I laughed. Okay, two scenes. I have to admit, I laughed at two scenes. Whenever he's doing his...
When that dog got kicked in the head? Yeah, you love that scene.
No.
Whoa,
no,
what a great scene that was.
No, the septic tank scene, whenever he's doing his job and his boss is not doing anything. Except
I love that guy. All he's doing is talking about his girlfriend about how he shouldn't be with her.
Hey, man,
that
sweet pussy, that makes people go to jail. And it builds pyramids, my dude.
That always used to make me think of something my friend used to say all the time as a joke, but he would always say, "You're putting the pussy on a pedestal." And it's like he would say this when we weren't even talking about women or anything else. He would just say it randomly. And I'm just like, he must have got it from something, but it was funny. It made me laugh.
That pussy.
He's putting that pussy on a pedestal. Because I guess the theme of this film, maybe, is this guy is letting sex control his life because all of these beautiful women around him, they all desire him and he desires them, but they all want something from him, so they keep using him all the time. So I guess what he learns at the end is to not trust women, I guess? Is that that's a good thing, right?
I suppose
I mean, to not be more... To not be as trusting and naive as he is. He's learned some things.
So basically,
but he's also done some terrible things too.
So this is an anthem for incels is what you're saying.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And we're just trying to support the cause. And we feel like all those Mary Sues and Chads can just go and suck each other's dicks, guys. It's just not cool. You know? You know what's cool now?
What?
Celibacy against your will. Anywho, oh, so back to the thing I was supposed to say 5 minutes ago. So he gets to a point where he leaves his girlfriend and her fucking serial killer brother, which I thought was kind of interesting. And he steals their car. He's driving away, and they have a hostage.
Yes.
And it was like a prostitute that was at the house that they robbed. So they fucking slit all their throats, basically, and then took this girl. And they go to a hotel. She, like, confesses her love for him and is like, I'm, like, falling in love with you. And he's like, I'm falling in love with you. And he's like, we're going to be together forever. And all this shit. And then it turns out, I guess she didn't rob him. He thinks that.
Yeah.
But it was really the gas station. Oh my god, there's a lot of stuff that happens in this movie.
Yeah, so basically as they're running away, they have to stop at a gas station and he almost gets swindled out of $200.
Uh-huh.
And then Violet is her name. She comes up and she's like, "No, you're going to give us gas and you're going to go back to Hot Topic, you dumb bitch."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then that pisses the girl off because she's not a Hot Topic emo chick. She's just
She's a hillbilly.
She's a hillbilly. Hillbilly what?
Teeth kicker.
Hillbilly teeth kicker.
That's right.
Anyway.
Hillbilly dog kicker. Also, no dogs were hurt in this film. That is a joke. Okay. Relax.
Well, I mean,
it didn't happen in the movie. Anywho, yeah, they go to that gas station. That lady gets pissed at them and she hears what hotel they're going to before they leave. She goes there with her gang members and fucking kills the main character's new girlfriend that he's in love with.
Slits her throat.
Yeah.
Which makes you think that it was Liza or Lisa or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
So you think it's the original girlfriend, but it's not.
It's now a new third girlfriend.
Yes.
And... He wakes up completely naked, and then he goes to the hotel owner. And this guy is the nicest guy in the film.
Yes.
He's so helpful. He's like, he's not even asking any questions about why he's all messed up. He's like, I want to help you. What's going on? You can use the phone. You know, like, what do you need? And maybe you can use some clothes in Lost and Found. This dude is helping him. And what does he do?
He murders fucking him. No, I'm
no, he doesn't murder him, but
he
clocks him.
He smacks him in the face with the fucking
ties
phone.
Ties him up. Steals all his money and steals his car. I'm like, fuck you, main character.
Oh, is this
that made me so pissed.
Is this whenever you turned on the main character
and
didn't
I'm like,
appreciate
fuck
him
this.
Anymore?
Yeah. It's bullshit. And here's the other thing. Is greed is also motivating him because he wants that money, right? So he learns to not fall for the greed because it's hurting people. But I almost feel like he never realizes that. I don't know. He keeps saying he's sorry, and then he apologizes, and he doesn't want to do this. But then he does it anyways. Like, he didn't have to do those things to the hotel owner.
Well, okay.
He wanted the money.
Let's play this scene. Ready? Mm-hmm. You be the hotel owner, and I'll be Matthew Gay Goobler.
Goobler.
Hello, Mr. Goobler. Is everything all right?
Hi. So I just got roofied, and my girlfriend stole my car. Can I have your car to go get it? And there's $68,000 that I need to get back, and you're probably never going to see your car again.
Oh, that sounds like a pretty fucking wild time. You know, back in my day, I would roofie myself.
Clock.
And I'd, oh, no.
That's just
oh, no, that, actually, yes, that is a very nice clock on the wall. I'm glad you noticed. Anyways, what I was saying
punch.
Is, yes, I have some punch right here. It was a fruit punch. I'll gladly share it with you, but first let me get into my story here. Thousands of years ago, before man was man.
Dropkick.
Oh, I love the Dropkick Murphys. Why don't I put on a tune for you? Oh, I said I left this tape cassette here somewhere. I just I'm so old, you see.
And scene. All right.
Scene was a friend of mine. No, just kidding. I'm done. I'll stop. How about one more scene, Dan? And then we'll close this motherfucker.
Well, one thing, so I can't hate on this movie that much because there's a lot happening. There's a lot of really interesting slow motion in this film.
Uh-huh.
Like, just random things go in slow motion, and it was actually fun to watch. And
yeah.
Like I said before, the acting was pretty much on point. Like, uh-huh. Whenever Liza dies at the end, mm-hmm. her dead acting or didacting? Dacting. Didacting. was
good.
Fucking, it looked like
special effects
shit.
Were good.
Yeah, special effects were good.
Special effects were great. It's unfortunate because this movie just gets boring. I just got bored.
So like, tell me, Jared, one scene that made you feel less bored than other scenes. Anything that was redeeming kind of towards the end?
Mainly the beginning stuff I thought was interesting, especially when they were in the house. Things towards the end, once he got kidnapped by Violet, that whole torture scene wasn't really for me. I'm just not really, I don't know.
No,
I didn't
Violet
see the fun or
not,
whatever it was.
Violet's the one
oh,
that died.
I'm sorry, emo girl. Whenever emo girl kidnaps him and starts beating him up, I kind of was checking out pretty hard during that. I'm trying to think of what's a scene I liked near the end. I don't know, man. I mean, I like when the his first crazy girlfriend shows up with the serial killer brother, and he's just like hacking everybody up. That was pretty fucking intense.
Yeah.
And she's it's almost like the two strongest women in the room are now having a pissing contest back and forth with each other.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. And she's like, oh, yeah, okay, you're in charge? She's like, good, there should be more women in charge. And I'm like, I want to watch a movie where these women, because you ever watch, like, Switchblade Six Sisters or...
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pans?
Yeah, 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 that's the same type of film. I would like to see a Switchblade Sisters 2 with these female leads. I think they'd be great.
Yeah, I think
they're
you're
strong,
right.
They're powerful. And but I want them to
powerful.
Be like bad but also good. And in this movie they're bad but also bad. You know what
Ooh.
I mean?
Yeah, I know
bad
what
to
you
the
mean.
Bone. So okay, final thoughts, Dan. What do you think?
There was a period of time where I thought this movie was gonna just the movie goes from 0 to 60 in like 20 minutes, and it, it really gets you excited for the rest of the film. And like, it just, I don't know. It's a weird movie. Like, that's all I can say about it. It just like, it loses steam towards the end, which is strange for how good it started.
Okay, so here's another thing I'd like to try doing. If you were to watch this film, in what context would it be? So, like, would you go to the theater for this movie? Would you maybe, you're bored, I don't know, watch it on Netflix?
I would, or would you not watch it? Maybe I'm bored, I watch it on Netflix, because okay, I saw Matthew Gray Gubler in it, and I know him from Criminal Minds.
Yes, so if we didn't have a podcast, I kind of agree too. If I just kind of saw this movie, I'd probably be like, all right, I'll give it a try. Yeah. Okay.
And then towards the end, I'd be like, well, that one's a movie.
Yeah, it's forgettable, it's whatever. It's okay. It's not the worst. So that's something.
That's true.
So guys, I hope you enjoyed this. If you like us, I'm going to have a thing to tell you about right now. Okay, Facebook. IndieFilmReview@facebook.com. If you'd like to talk to us on Twitter, it's @IndieFilmPod. Email us any suggestions. Let us know how we're doing, how we're not doing, at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
If you want to look at all the pictures we don't post, go to Instagram at IndieFilmReviewPod.
Dan,
yes,
I'm gonna bust your balls. You gotta start posting some pictures. Maybe post some stills from the movies we watch.
Yeah, that's what I used to do, and then I just got terrible at it.
I mean, you don't have to do it all the time.
I'll fix it up. I'll fix it up.
So weird. We get so much activity from Instagram, and we never do anything on Instagram.
Yeah,
it's really weird. Everyone's just like really into it. And I'm like, guys, we haven't posted in like a month. Why is everyone following us on Instagram? Maybe it's the hot new shit, man. We just need to get hip.
Maybe.
That's what all the cool kids love. Anyways,
maybe we're not hip enough. I don't know.
We're on the Necropodicon. That is a podcasting network that is beautiful and sexy, and we love everyone there. If you want to go see D&D podcast, movie podcast, comedy podcast, they got a ton of really cool stuff there. They got stuff for kids now there.
Kids.
So if you're a parent and you have children's, I think it's the Happy Go Lucky podcast. I've listened to a few episodes. Good. It's good. It's like a little role play this podcaster does with his family. Oh. So he's taking his kids on this like safe for kids journey. And it's cool. I mean, it's crazy stuff happens.
You heard it here first.
Life threatening things.
Well, but, I mean, maybe not heard it here first. Second for one.
No. Yeah. They've been doing their stuff.
Yeah, they've been promoting it for sure. So once you have your children listen to that, make sure you have them listen to us.
Yeah, for sure. Because we're like the graduation, you know what I mean? We're the final exam.
We are the Mrs. Robinson to their Ben.
That's right. All right, thank you guys so much. I love all of you. And Dan, you have the final word.
I can't stop this feeling.
All right. I couldn't think of anything else.
Hey, this is Paul.
This is Beth.
I'm Emily.
And we're from On the Shoulder. The show you just listened to is part of the Necropodicon Network. That's Necropodicon.
Necropodicon!
If you're looking for some D&D adventures in a modern world with devils, devas, and...
dicks.
There sure are.
And detoirs.
Find us on the Necropodicon Network. www.necropodicon.com.
Smell you later.